Time past our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Hallelujah. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Is this good for you tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Who? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I thought that I would take a moment to read this to you tonight, because as I would begin to read this, it encourages me and reminds me that there are going to be things in my life that I am going to be bothered with, but I need not be ashamed. There are going to be things that are going to put me down, and people are going to revel me, or they're going to cast me out and going to shun us for believing how that we do. But nonetheless, Gary, I'm not ashamed. And in my trial, in it, unto me I'm able to stand. I realize I love to sing and I love to play the piano, but there's been nights that I could have played all night long and it wouldn't have brought me any peace. You hear this tonight. And I love to write and I love to read the Word of God, and I love talking about it and I love being around people that do. But let me tell you, there comes a point where talk is cheap. And we have to realize that when we get down to business with God, that we've got to commit and not be ashamed and go forward and say, God, it's yours. I'm not going to be ashamed. And if we don't get it together, as he read the last parts of that, it said, how would they find it if the righteous are scarcely saved? If we can't get it together, how are we going to lead those that need us to? How Lord, people are going to see the example in me. If I'm ashamed of how I believe, how is somebody going to be able to be led into joy and peace everlasting if I cannot stand and support my brethren? How in this world are we going to be a church that's going to endure and not close up the bowels of compassion lest we cling unto the anointing and Spirit of God? And the answer is, I do not know. But when I stand for Him, I never fail. But when I stand for me, I'll fail every time. I feel my knees go out from underneath me when I try to do it, because it's not in your knowledge, not in your power, not in what you can do, but it's when you cling to God in that hard time. It's when you stand up and say, God, I'm praising you, offering myself in this hard time. God sees how you're going through it. He sees all that suffering that's on you. Listen, tonight we're in a time of suffering, but God's looking for somebody not to be ashamed. He's looking for somebody to be a voice in His church. He's looking for somebody to be that righteous that's not going to be scarcely saved, but to walk in, come boldly before the throne room of grace. Christ did not provide that so that I would come scarcely, so that I would come boldly. And that's a simple thought tonight. That's it. And I hate to put us on the spot, but we've got to stop being ashamed. And any part of me that hides the light of God, because more often than not, it's hidden. More often than not, my praises are silent. And God revealed it unto me today. Areas that I need to work on. If we seek Him more, He'll show us ways. Even in our mind, when we think that there's no more you can do, God will begin to show you just how much further that you need to go. I realize that though we might feel like that we're doing enough sometimes, that God is looking for a people not to be ashamed. So tonight I'm not ashamed. God is looking for people not to be ashamed. He's looking for us to be able to lead others by how proud that we are of what lives inside. Not how proud I am of my church. Come on now, we got it all backwards. We got it all backwards. You got these mega-million-dollar churches, and we're proud of our building. We're proud of how far that we've got this going and all the programs that we have and the most beautiful music that you could ever hear, but we can't get a conversation, it seems like, about how proud that we are about the God that lives inside of us. We'll talk about everything that's going wrong. We'll talk about our brethren and how it's going wrong for them and how we can see this solution for them. Oh, if they would just do this, their life would be together, but we cannot talk about how good that God is in our life. I'm telling you, if I'd learn to get the presence of God on me more often, I'd stray from sin. I wouldn't walk right in it with my eyes wide open. I'd be able to see the difference, and God would be able to lead me. You'd be able to have a conversation that wouldn't lead you in the wrong direction. You don't have to have a title or position. Has nothing to do with that. It's your decisions each and every day. It's what you do at 3 o'clock in the day when you got nothing better going on. And you have a choice either to dedicate time to God or not dedicate time to God. And your decision is made. How are we not ashamed of our Savior? How do I demonstrate in my everyday life? What am I doing so that people are able to see God living in me? I'll tell you this much. I'm not doing enough. I can't speak on your behalf. I don't live your life. I don't go where you go. I don't see what you do. But let me tell you about my life. There needs to be more about God in my life every day. I might be a preacher, but there needs to be more God in my walk, more God in my talk, and not just about coming in to church and demonstrating what you know,
about how you can preach. It's about how you're living, how you're loving, and how you're helping, how you're leading somebody out of trouble, how you're telling them, don't do that, brother. Don't you know that that's going to hurt you? Don't you know that there's a better way? Come on, somebody. Help me preach for a minute. You need this tonight. Brother, don't you know that there's a better way to go? Don't you know that we serve a God that's here for you if you would pray? We're leading ourselves in trouble so often because we're not trusting in God to guide us anymore. And Lord, forgive me. Because if your leaders won't admit it first, they have no business standing before you. But I'll go ahead and tell you that if you're not too careful, you'll get in a place where you feel like you can lead and not think you need God. Come on now. But one thing that I learned real early from the get-go is just how much I need God to guide me. Just because we feel like that we're safe sometimes doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right decision. Just because we feel like the advice that we pass along to somebody doesn't necessarily mean that that was the right thing to give. We need to seek God more for the understanding and things. And if you need to tell somebody, I don't know what to tell you, but I'll sure go pray. We need to change how we operate because God is not glorified when we lead somebody into trouble. Brother, I need you. Will you pray for me? Sure, I will. Not call him back, not do nothing. Shame on us for being in that place. No follow up, no follow after, no go get him, no drive. Somebody has to say it sometimes. I guess it'll be me. That's all right. I like being that guy. You can call me the dartboard. Go ahead and throw them. That's all right. If we don't learn to get our lives in order and follow what God would lead us to, we're going to get in a place where instead of calling out in the good times on the mountain, we're going to be down in a valley that we wish that we'd never been to. Let me tell you, I was saved by His blood, but there's been times I felt so lost because I didn't heed to what God was preaching time after time, Sunday after Sunday. I'm telling you, I've heard so much word, I could choke out on it, but I got to get a hold of it so that it'll live in me. Like I said last night, take earnest heed, therefore. That's not only get a hold of it, but I'm not letting go. And you can try to pull it from me, but I'm keeping it. I'm keeping that word. We got to get out of trouble. We got to get out of this. Well, we're ashamed and afraid and afraid of the devil, afraid to come boldly before the throne room of grace. Brother, will you pray for my child's deliverance? And I can't even get out a prayer. Church, there's something wrong with that. If we cannot come boldly, there's something wrong with that. We have more inside of us that should rise up and not be ashamed to be able to say, I rebuke every foul spirit. Then let me tell you something. If you go to a bar, you know that everybody's going to be drinking. So you know if people come to your church, you shouldn't mind them because they came and you're going to obey God. I'm all about being delicate, being gentle, and being a gentleman, not being overwhelming. But sometimes you only get one chance with people. And if we're not right in, right on, and in tune with what God's trying to say, they'll be right back out in trouble. And that was their last chance. Prophet, that was your last chance. Singer, that was your last. Hallelujah. I feel this going out to some people. That was your last chance, preacher, to get the word out. And when God spoke this in my heart, I was just thinking, Lord, I'll just give up. I'll just quit. But there's that part, that drive door, that reminds me of how many people need us right now. Now we have a community right now. We could go up and down this road of how many people don't even know what road of destruction that they're on. Now we could talk about hell all that we want to, but nobody's really getting hold of it, of just how bad that destruction is coming. Let me tell you, if we don't start ministering, as it says in the Word of God, to be a teacher unto those, so that we can start them on the milk when they are weak and give them the meat so they be strong. If we don't learn to teach people, they're just going to be in trouble. Get in trouble again, and we wonder why in the world they can't ever get it together. We're not training them up. We're not leading them the right way. We're not being proud enough and not leading them as God would speak to our hearts. It's true. I used to use the excuse, well, Lord, they're older than me, and I have to give people their respect. But God quickened my heart in some of the revivals I've been in. And I felt that urgency in my heart to share with people. I remember looking at a guy once and I said, "Guy, it's time to stop." I don't even know what it was about. And tears just started going down his face. He knew. In his heart, he knew. And God, somebody just needed to tell him, "Guy, it's time to stop." That's all that it was. And God ordained that time, that opportunity for him to have been there. And how sad would it have been if I'd held back and just stood there and watched him go by and not spoken to that was afflicting him. I want to hold myself to a higher standard because I know I'm capable of that. I know I'm capable of coming in here and being in a spirit of fellowship. Hallelujah. I'm capable of getting myself up and supporting everybody. Oh, come on now. I'm going to be better. I am. I'm committing myself to being better. Because if I can't support all my brethren singing, I have no business singing a song. All right. I'm working on a book where it's going to be out at Christmas. You can read it then. I've been writing on stuff like this. We can't get in a place where we can support all our preachers. I don't have a business getting up and trying to preach. And when she's teaching in Sunday school, she deserves my attention keenly, and I'm going to give it to her. Amen. Amen. Enemy has too much of a playground when we're distracted. And let me tell you this much, if we had full attention for 20 minutes, a preacher wouldn't preach an hour. You can laugh on that one because it's true. If a preacher felt like that he got his point across quickly, he'd stop. I've talked to some preachers, and that's the general consensus, so there's one of those insider secrets. Give them your support and your attention. They'll be done. They follow the Lord. They won't hold back on you. But here's the bottom line tonight. Forgive me tonight for letting anything get in the way of short of what God wants me to do. Forgive me for not just getting out there and reaching to each and every one that needs help. Because I know in my heart I can do more. And if I can't admit that, I got no business holding the mic and trying to do a thing. I want to go further. I want to see those that are in need be delivered. But we are not going to get there being ashamed. We are not going to get there not being obedient unto the Lord. And we are not going to get there dragging around. We got to be quick. We got to mind the Spirit of God when it hits. Because I used to think that it was always right at the end of the altar call when people would begin to be convicted. But I've seen now. I've seen people get deliverance within the first 5 minutes of church now. See, you never know when that time is going to be that God wants to move. And I used to begin to think that it was just that he moved on behalf of a song. But I've learned, I'm growing up, I realize that God's trying to move on the needs on behalf of those that are here. There's people that are in need, and if we neglect how God would want to move upon us to be obedient, there are people that are missing what God is trying to do. He provided when Jesus went away,
When Jesus Christ went away, He provided them with something that they would still be able to perform everything that they needed to do in spite of Him being gone. And today I feel like that even as I stand here, even in the fall of Tennessee, even in this room right now, that I know by the power of God that I'm standing with that same power in my heart. I believe that we can still see deliverance. I still believe in healing. I still believe in dead being raised. I'm not fearful nor ashamed. My voice will be His voice. My praises are submitted unto God. And when we learn to be proud of that and not ashamed, you'll see so much growth in your life. Not growth in your church, growth in your life. We've got all of this backwards, and I've tried and tried and tried to understand what is the secret to a church's growth. And the truth is, there is no secret. There is no amount of money you could throw at it. There's no amount of people that we could cram in here to get it to happen. But it's when you see a group of people begin to come together and mind what God would have them to do. Because there's not enough people like that anymore that'll pray on the spot and not be ashamed. Got too much other stuff getting in the way anymore. And if we can't just be in a place where we can come in and get into worship, guys, there's just too much going on in your life. It's got to go. I'm not going to debate you on what it is or how you need to put out your time schedule. God sees your life. He sees what you do. And He knows that time that you have for Him and what you can do, so He's glorified. He knows that. And I know in my life personally, I've got to do more so that we can do more. And I shouldn't expect a thing out of anybody but me, because if I can't, then we get in this bad habit of blaming one another. Then we get in this habit of waiting to see what such and such is going to do after they fail a few times. And then I find myself not obeying God at all. But if we've been through some things, we'll admit that one day. We will. I want to say this, and I'm just going to open it up for prayer tonight, because I feel like that God's moving on some hearts. But as we go out from here, please consider your decisions that you make. The big ones, the small ones, every word, everything that you do, consider how God is first in it. Consider, even if you think it's all right, even if people that go to church may have told you at one point that it's okay, pray and ask God, is it all right with you, Lord? Is it okay, God, that I even be in this room talking with these people about this? Should I even be listening to this? Because there's been a few times that I've had to turn around and just walk out. And people be like, what's your problem? And I've had to say, I can't listen to this. And I mean, no offense to you, but I just can't do this. And I lost a few friends doing that. But sometimes it's what you have to do. Consider your decisions. Where you go, what you say, and you'll find that the more that you make and consider God in it, that the stronger you'll become. Hallelujah. The stronger you'll become. You won't be weary. You won't be pushed over so easy, because you'll be able to come in and celebrate and praise and be like, I know what I'm bringing before you is coming to pass. There's not going to be anything to hinder me in my walk, because I've been talking to you about what I should be doing, where I should be going, and Lord, I know that you're with me and where I'm going. That's too hard, Jared. That's too hard, Jared. You can't tell me to do that. I know that it seems hard. Let me remind you that the Word of God says that He would not put more on you than you could bear. It's not unreasonable. Come on now. Somebody better help me with this. If we expect each other to walk this, then we better amen this. We better get to a place where we're able to seek God every day for everything that we're doing, or we're going to lose our minds. I know I preached it Friday, and the enemy tried every way in the world to get me to stop. But we're just handing over our stuff too quick. And we're not consulting God over anything anymore. We're just doing any old thing and thinking it's okay. But God wants us to communicate a little more than that. I know that if I didn't tell my wife where I was going or what I was doing for 2 to 3 days, she would begin to wonder what in the world was going on. And I know after a while, I would eventually be in the doghouse. Come on now. And if we do not begin to communicate with God a little bit more in our life, let me rephrase that, a whole lot more, we're going to get in the doghouse and be in trouble. I'm not going to put more on you than you can bear, so I'm just going to ask you to stand just for a moment. And if anybody wants to step out right here just this next minute or two, we're going to come up and we're going to pray together. I'm just going to give you a moment. Just go ahead and seek the Lord, pray, whatever you want to do. But I don't ever want to turn anybody away from a chance to come forward. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're just going to pray. And God is here for you. If anybody feels led to come and pray, to help, to anything, we're going to start praying. You seek the Lord. Don't let anything get in the way and hinder. Hallelujah. That's all that I could ask.